Welcome to Heart of the Father Ministries, the ministry of Dr. David and Sherry Nichols. For this very special message, your apostolic teacher will be Pastor James Hessler. He will challenge and inspire you to exercise the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Praise God. You may be seated. Oh God, give God the glory. My goodness. Here's my disclaimer. You know, you ever watch, and they put a little television, and they put a disclaimer, you know, this product we are only allowing on here, we don't agree with it at all, you know. Then why did you allow it on? I mean, you know, I've seen that on Trinity Broadcasting, and I said, well, then why do you allow it on? You know? There's some things I don't understand. But anyway, let's get off of that right now. Okay, but here's my disclaimer. 2 Corinthians 4:7. I'm just a jar of clay. And inside of me there is a jewel and the surpassing power, all surpassing power of God. So if somehow God gets through the jar of clay and touches you, then you know it was God. It wasn't a jar of clay. I'm just a jar of clay. That's all. And sometimes it takes a lot for God to break through. I want to talk to you today on the word of knowledge. Probably add a little bit of the word of wisdom. And then also we want to deal with the gift of faith. Just a little what? That's so important too. Of course, 1 Corinthians 12:7-8, it tells us that there's a word of knowledge and there's a word of wisdom. Yeah. And that's good. That's really good. Here's what I want to just say. No amount of natural learning can supply this knowledge. No amount of spiritual maturity can supply this knowledge. No amount of theological training can supply this knowledge. Okay? The word of knowledge is a divine granted revelation of God's knowledge, which was hidden from the senses, from the mind, the intellect, and the faculties of mankind. It is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God. It is a divine revelation of past happenings or present happenings, and sometimes future happenings, but primarily the gift of wisdom or the word of wisdom handles the area of the future. And the reason for that is that wisdom is knowledge applied. And so when you get knowledge, God gives wisdom, and that generally has to do with the area of future happenings. In the area of people, places, or things. One of the great, great, great scriptures on this is found in Acts the 9th chapter. Turn with me to Acts the 9th chapter. I love this. This is so expressive. It's about Ananias and Saul, who later name was turned to Paul. And in verse 11 it says, and the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Wow, look at all the knowledge in here, man. In the vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. It's kind of what that you talked about last night with your story. He had seen a man named Ananias. I mean, it was all programmed, man, I'll tell you. Come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. And then down in verse 15, go, this man is a chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings, and before the people of Israel, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Now, Brother Nichols shared a beautiful illustration in regards to the prophetic, and he alluded to some of this in regards to the Apostle Paul, who was told, you know, you're going to be bound in all of this. Well, the reason why the people had a wrong application of this, or interpretation, that was excellent, interpretation, was because Paul knew that God had already spoke to him, told him he was going to suffer some things. So there was nothing. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He knew this. See, but the people didn't. Our interpretation. So we got to be very careful about that. Yeah, that's so important. Okay, so notice he's at Judas, at Straight Street. One of the great men of God years ago, William Branham, who, you know, had some tough times towards the end of his ministry. Could I encourage you, no matter how much God uses you, just remember that the God that used you, you also need as the God to protect you and keep you. How many people? It's one of the great lessons that the Lord taught me as a teenager, because my father loved the supernatural, and he ordered all of these magazines and different things from all of the people who ran with the gift of healing during the late 40s, 50s, and into the end of the 50s. I saw how many of them just and if you and I think we are better than they are, forget it. Because when a person gets to a point where they honestly believe they're somebody, it's dangerous. Or you want to be somebody else. But anyway, I was in a William Branham meeting. Oh, man. My dad took me to him. And that's honestly where there was a release on the demonic. That's learning about the demonic, because William Branham was up there and he was saying, now everybody close their eyes, because if you don't, maybe the demon that I'm going to cast out will come to you. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm there with my eyes open because I wanted to see what was going on. And no demon came, because this was a dumb demon. So I'm talking so you know that it didn't come. And this is where my theology was completely changed at a teenager, 14, 15. There was an 11-year-old Assembly of God boy. I knew the family, okay, who couldn't talk. He could talk before, but he can't talk now. And out of an Assembly of God, Lord, I forgot this is being recorded. Okay, for you out there, as the judge would say in the area of the law, disregard all of what I have said. But he cast a devil out of him. He cast the dumb spirit out of him, and the kid talked. But something happened to me at that particular time. And there was a transference of something. Because like I said, I have never prayed for God to give me insight in all of this stuff. Never have prayed that. And the other person that my father took to me was to Oral Roberts. And something happened there. A desire for the supernatural. See, you don't get your kids into some stuff. Spider-Man will not do it. In fact, my brother over here is from Fort Totten. Go in your computer and write in Spider-Woman. Help you out. No, we don't understand. We have no comprehension that the spirit of this world, 70 to 80, 90 years, Dr. Primitive can tell you when John, this first John was written. But he said, the whole world, this is after the crucifixion. This is after the resurrection. He says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And this cosmos situation, the enemy is in control of the movie industry. And do you think he's not teaching some things and getting some things in? You know, we're going to have a little time here, okay? I gotta go run with this. This is a bunny trail, but I'm going to run with it, okay? I will get back. Okay. I was, the only time I became political was when President Carter was the president, and they had a White House conference on the family, and all of the states would have representatives to their state to talk about certain things. And so I teamed up with a lawyer in town, and we had a caucus, and the people voted for the lawyer from A to M, and from M to Z, their names, they voted for me. So we went in this caucus. We had people from our church, people from other churches, and we just wiped out the liberals. I mean, we just, and they were so mad. Well, anyway, they were talking on how movies affect children or youth. Mr. Purity here, I'm telling you, I went to the Ten Commandments and got convicted. Okay? I grew up, movies were sin, and that was it, no matter what. And so my neighbor had HBO. Well, he was head of the whole satellite situation in Dickinson. And I said, can I get a box from you for just a little while? I don't want to pay anything. He said, sure. And so Lois and I would sit down together, and we would look at some movies. And I said, wow, I don't make sense out of this dumb movie. Just no sense. I go to bed, Lois and I just scratching our head. There was no fine theme, no plot, you know. 5 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, hedonism. So I quick ran to my dictionary, and I looked up the word of hedonism. And hedonism basically has the idea of pursuit of happiness. That was what that whole movie was about. And that's when God spoke to me. Remember, the devil copies. The word without the spirit is what? The words that come out of your TV, out of the movies, are dead unless there's a spirit with it. And what people don't understand is that they sit there and they watch that and they think it's okay, and a spirit is coming out and affecting them, and they have given right for that to happen. Now, let me give you an illustration of this. Christians are not to retaliate. We're not to have revenge. Have you ever watched a Western where somebody gets the whole family is killed and he's after that person and you're, get him, get him. Is that Christian? What have you opened yourself up to? I could give you the name of a man whose son committed suicide. And I could give you the name of the prophets that prophesied to him what happened. His 18-year-old boy went into a movie, watched The Deer Hunters, which had to do with Russian roulette and suicide, and they both told him that in that place, he was a born-again, spirit-filled kid, picked up a spirit of suicide, committed, and killed himself. You would know him if I talked to him, told you the names. See, we don't understand sometimes how that the enemy works, but without the spirit, the word is dead. And without a spirit, and there are spirits that come out of these movies that, and God, help us. But our youth are being shown some of these things in church. Now that's free. But I learned that. And so you have to be careful. Oh, Lord, let's get to our message today. Okay, here we go. Operation of the Word of Knowledge. These thoughts that come from God, they're just part of God's knowledge and part of God's wisdom. He just gives us a bit. And it can come at unbelievable times. Unbelievable times. You know, one of the reasons why God doesn't we are not used more of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge? Because we've got it all figured out. You can't be used like you should be in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge when you've got everything figured out. Why should God give you something? You've got it figured out. Had a word given to me when I was up in Cavalier, North Dakota, pastoring. The pastor asked me to come to Grafton, and I shared a meeting there, and as a young lad came up to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I laid my hands on him. Now listen to this carefully. I laid my hands on him, and God said, I can't fill him with the Holy Spirit because he's controlled by his mother. I never said anything. 25 years or 26 years later, this boy moves to Dickinson, North Dakota to become the assistant manager of Zales. One day he walks into my office and he says, Pastor Jim, I've gone to Bible school. I've gone to all of the big meetings. I've had people, in essence, the big people pray over me. And I have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I can't understand it. I said, I know why. I said, if you'll kneel down right here, release your mother, release your God, and have her quit controlling you, I said, you'll get filled. So he knelt down, put her on the cross, got up, laid hands on him, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost just like that. Now, this is a message within a message. Just because God has given you a word of knowledge doesn't mean you shoot it off right away. Isaiah 50, verse 4, one of my favorite verses, top five. God has given me the tongue of the learned to be able to plant the word in the right season. How many of you know, right now, if some farmer would go out there in the field and start to plant some of the hybrid seed, some of the greatest seed that probably was in the United States, and would go out there, they would take him to, North Dakota, it's Jamestown. They would say something's wrong with this man. Why? Because he was planting it in the wrong season. We have some of the biggest problems of listening to God in the area of the right season. So when a word of knowledge comes, David, sharing with David last night, he never knew this. When I was a youth pastor in Minot, North Dakota, 50 years ago, God gave me a vision. And in the vision, he told me that I was going to marry Lois, and I never told her. She would have run. I tell you, she'd have run. Thank God for wisdom. Understanding. Never said a thing. I mean, you talk about how she was set up. My brother, who is more my wife's age than I am, I'm 7 years older than my wife, but that's great because I told her when we became one, I took her age. My brother was going to ask her out, and God spoke to him and said, no, that's Jim's wife. He is going to to be engaged in October and married in July. Larry never told me that till years and years afterwards. So it was all set up, you know. It's all set up. Word of knowledge. We gotta be careful. But anyway, this came to pass. But in that time, I also had another vision. And that vision was that I was overseas, and I stood up before a great crowd of people. And involved with that was a lady who's a blind lady that was healed. Well, when you're with Brother David, and I respect that, Brother David is the person that you're with, and he preaches at night. You have your opportunity to speak to the men. But he, that night, for some reason or another, he calls me up because of a little revelation that God had given me, and I shared it with the people. Sat down, he gave the testimonies. First person that came up talked about being healed of a blind eye. 40 years later. But see, that gave me the desire to go overseas. And when I was overseas in various areas, that never came to pass, so I knew there was still another time. So when a word, you have something to say? Oh, just point at me. But 40 years later, it comes to pass. Wow. We had about 22,000 people there that night. And loved India. Just loved India. Just those people. I mean, they're on my heart. I've got some in our church, you know, from India. This is a blessing. Yeah. So basically, the word of knowledge is something that just comes to you. It can come in various ways. Let's just look at some various ways how it works. Number one, a picture in the mind. Just a picture in the mind. How many of you ever have had this thought in your mind where you see, you're driving down the highway and you see a highway patrolman, you just see the red lights, you know. You've seen those in your mind. Okay, that's how God works, only in a spiritual way. You just get a picture. See, I walked into this building, and I had a picture I saw. I saw right above here these things. It was just a picture of the mind. I just knew it. I knew. And last night, I saw some more stuff, and it might interest you, Drew, that the demonic power was really cowering last night. Okay, that's good. So, making progress. Okay. You just get them. You know, it's a word picture. You just get. And one time, the Lord really helped me on a person that I saw the face, and over the face was coming ticker tape. Witchcraft, 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 witchcraft. Ooh, that was really a help. It really was, because the former pastor dealt with that situation, and in 6 months he was out of the church. Just some good wisdom that really helps you. See? Just a mind picture. You just check it out. Just see, maybe God's trying to give you some insight. So there's the mind. Then the area of dreams. You go to Luke, the first chapter. Zechariah, angel came and gave him a word. Said, "You're going to have a son." And you know what? He ended up being dumb because he didn't believe what the angel said. Maybe we need to be a little careful of when God speaks to us that we really believe it. Yeah, okay, I believe that. You know, I'm going to make for sure, but I'm going to believe. God, you're speaking to me, you know. Dreams, Brother Drew just had a beautiful illustration of this in regards to the dream. God gives us knowledge, gives us words of knowledge and words of wisdom in dreams and visions, people. We've got to understand that dreams are very important. And as we come towards the end time, they're going to become more important, because there is some place in the scripture that Brother David read that old men are going to dream dreams. I'm still having visions, thank God. No. I told God a while back, I said, God, I said, I want to thank you for thinking I'm young. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, it is good for a young man to bear the yoke. Boy, I haven't felt it lift. So, you know. But by dreams and by visions, God speaks to us. I taught when I was at Trinity that, well, you know, sometimes because we're not obedient to God, that God will have to give us dreams and visions, you know. Well, I changed my attitude when God started giving me dreams and vision to go to Spokane, Washington. I didn't want to go. I'd been at school 8 years. I had some of the best relationship with the president. Every one of the staff was coming back in the area of being dean of students. All the staff was coming back, and plus the fact they were going to cut my hours of teaching, and I was going to get a raise. I mean, and God says, you're going to Spokane. Pastor calls, says, I need you here in Spokane. Said, I've got 200 young people. That is all food, fun, and fellowship, and I need you to come to bring something spiritual. Thanks. Did you ever try to come and bring something spiritual to 200 kids that are used to fun, food, and fellowship? I said, thank you, but no thank you. Then I started having dreams. I had a dream of Spokane. Paul sends me out the brochures from Spokane, the Chamber of Commerce. What I saw in the picture is what I dreamt about. I said, oh, Lord. Then he gives me a dream of a lady that was in my dad's church. And so when I go to go out and just check it out, you know, she's there at the plane, just like in the dream. And I'm saying, oh, Lord. And so I knew that I had to go to Spokane, leave Trinity. God gives words of knowledge. And if we will just really listen, he will speak to us and give us words of knowledge. See, there are some things you and I cannot understand about God because we don't know God. We do know him, but we don't know him. And you want to know something? If you lived to 120, you'll say the same thing. Because there's so much to know about God. Why did God give Joseph a dream that Herod was going to kill the babies or try to kill Jesus and go to Egypt when he's all powerful? Well, see, there was a prophetic word that says that Jesus would come out of Nazareth. See? Don't ever get to the place where you think you know it. One of the great things that keeps me fresh is I just don't know anything. And as long as I don't know anything, God just keeps giving me stuff, see? I have a manual. I'm in the process of trying to do a manual. I have the manual, have to redo it because some of the things that the Lord's given to me and things of this nature, and I just need to take some time to write it and to do it. But, you know, I got to the feeling, well, you know, God's given me a lot of stuff, you know. And for 2 years, I never got anything. I sent as I told you, my manual to the superintendent of the Assemblies, assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God. And he says, it's all biblical. He says, you really must have. And another one of my professors who ended up as the dean of Fuller, Russell Spittler. And he said, man, you must have really studied, really worked. I'm saying, you don't know. The Lord will give me a name of a demonic power, and I'll sit down, and in 20 minutes, I have it all down. Scriptures, all the other stuff. And one of the people I sent it to said, you need to copyright this. How could you copyright that when God downloads stuff to you? I almost feel embarrassed when people think I put a lot of study into it. I got some tapes out on rejection. Powerful tapes. Changed people's lives because of some things that I have gone through. And the Lord showed me what I was going through was rejection, spirit of rejection. And I was at a Women's Aglow meeting. I used to be, for 9 years, was kind of the advisor for Women's Aglow in North Dakota. And the Lord just said, take a sheet of paper when you go in. And so the lady is speaking, and I'm writing down 2 pages of stuff on rejection. That's knowledge that God gives, you know. And the beauty about rejection is that there have been people I pray for, and they're delivered. And I said, that's not fair. I had to work through this. But a lot of them work through it. How many of you know that the most of us are going to work through things? Miracles? How many miracles have you seen, you know? They are real. Yeah. But, generally speaking, God lets us work through because, boy, we learn a lot. And not alone that, we can be a tremendous help to someone else. And so God gives us these areas of visions and dreams and all of these various things. But, you know, another thing that he gives us is the area of symptoms in our body, in our spirit. There's sometimes the aches and pains that you have. Maybe God giving you some insight. There's somebody around that has these aches and pains, and you need to get up and say, boy, there's someone here in the right hip that is really hurting tonight. Who is that? Because God wants to heal. Sometimes he'll just, I don't remember the first time that happened, was in the area of my stomach. When I was at DYD and I was at a children's camp, and and I'm saying, what on earth? What am I sick for? I'm not eating anything. And then I said, is there someone here that has this? God touched that little kid. Just touched him. Yeah. The reason why I had a stomach problem, he was going through an adult problem. One of the sad things is that our children are going through our adult problems that we used to go through in the 50s and 60s. Now they're going through those things, and they're just little kids. And soon as that was released, his stomach just became as good as everything. Sometimes God will use that to let you know in regards to, there's somebody that needs to be touched. Another way that God uses is in the area of drawing a person. You're just drawn to that person. Now, if you're a man and she is good looking, you just might be careful about that, okay? Or if you're a lady and this guy's a hunk, you know, you just be careful. That drawing may be something else. It may be physical. But sometimes God will just, you'll just pick somebody out in the crowd. Didn't Peter do that? Or Paul do that? He says, I see that you have faith to be healed. Rise up. He's looking at everybody. See him. See, God will just take one. Jesus at the pool of Bethesda walks all by all of these people that are sick and everything. And he comes over there and okay. And then he says something that, forgive me for sometimes putting in a pun, but I need to do that in order that we don't get into the over-grace situation. And Jesus came up to that man and said, don't sit anymore or worse things are going to happen to you. Oh. That man had a problem with sin. Now, the other guy, the disciples said, and the people said, what? Why did this, who sinned? Because this man is blind. And Jesus said, nobody sinned. Pastors that are here, people, listen, don't take a story from the Bible and make it doctrine. I've heard people get up and they preach, from Jehoshaphat, where it says, the battle is the Lord's. Just rest. How many times did the people rest? Most of the time they fought. And I've heard of, and that is the way, I mean, that is the way they've given it. That it's, you just let the God take the care of the battle. Now, the battle is the Lord's. We know that. But David sometimes would say, Lord, I need a word on this. What should I do? And God would say, here's what I want you to do. And it was crazy what he asked him to do, you know. But it wasn't all the same. One of the things you and I need to know, that the reason why the word of knowledge and word of wisdom is not operating like it should, is because we've got it all figured out. This is the way it is. Because we have looked at something in Scripture and we have made not alone a doctrine, but we have made it a generality. Be careful of generalities when it comes to it. Be very careful of it, because God is the God of variety. Let me give you an illustration of this. As it gave as a word of knowledge to me. When I was 50 years ago in Minot, I was having a tough time with the youth. It just wasn't going. And so I'm crying out to God, God. And I'm standing out in the area of the nature, you know, and I see the what's happening. And God just spoke to my heart and said, I'm a God of order. Every morning and every night, the sun comes up and the sun goes down, and you can put your clock on it. That's order. But he says, there has never been a sunrise or a sunset the same. That's my variety. Pick up on that. It will help you. Because we have people who love order. And I'm telling you, there's order in the cemetery. And then there are some there are just some people that love the variety. Oh, organization, that's of the devil. Order, no. All we want, the Holy Spirit. We just, no. Man, the Holy Spirit moved today. We just even have the Word of God. Well, that happens sometimes. But if that continually happens, something's wrong. See? So variety is a key. And the Holy Spirit wants to show you that God is a God of order. But he is also a God of variety. And he will use nature. But going back to this drawing of a person, you're kind of drawn to him. And you don't understand why. Well, it's because God wants to minister. If you'll just give God time, he'll give you insight as to what to do and when to do it. And you will be a help to that individual. He isn't drawing you there for just because they're nice looking or they're dressed nice. Because sometimes he'll draw you to people that aren't. But is there someone that you just sense a drawing to? The Holy Spirit may be working in order for you to give a word of knowledge. Or in with that, a word of wisdom. Another thing that we can, is the names of individuals. In that, remember we just read that? He's at Judah's house. He's, what else? His name is Saul. Well, yeah, but I know about this Saul, you know. I don't want to be drawn to him, you know. But Saul. Saul had this dream, saw Ananias. You and I need to open up more in the area of God using names. William Branham was, the angel would come and give him insight. And I have a video that I watched of his. This lady comes up, he looks at her and he said, you're from Chicago, Illinois, aren't you? She said, yes. You live on, and I'm just going to use a fictitious a number. You live at 1619 South Avenue North. So how can it be South Avenue North? Boy, that is fictitious. That's okay. You needed to laugh. Okay. And she says, yes. And about 6 weeks ago, you had to go to the doctor. And she says, yeah. And this is what the doctor said. You have this, this, this. Yes. Do you believe that that was God that spoke to you? Yes, I do, I do, I do, I do. Well, then do you believe that God heals? Go. Wow. I mean, Chicago's a big town. And pinpointed exactly where she lived. And brought faith to her that she could be healed. You see, we develop in the gifts. And we need to keep developing. God wants to develop and develop and develop and develop. Just because you were used one time, he wants to develop that. I am when God works with me, you know, it's generally, you have rejection. Other people, you have rejection and then da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm a headliner. Other people are just, you know, they got all of this information. Difference between Dr. Nichols and I, and Steve saw that, or not Steve, but Drew saw that the other night. Just hang on to that one. Yes, it is. Okay, Stephen, okay. The other night when I was in Beulah, I shared this. I said, different ministries. When Brother Nichols prays, hold your big old long arms, you know. Doesn't let you go until you're soaked, you know. And he'll pray with you. When I pray for people, I just say, be healed. Be-doom, be-doom. And they were falling all over the place. I mean, I prayed for 30 people that night in about 1 minute. Same results, different ministries. We got to understand that. Oh, otherwise we got problems. It's not one is right and one is wrong. It's just that God is a God of variety. He just loves to do things in a variety, you know. Just really loves to do that. So in the area of the I'm going to tell Lois, give me a watch that I can't read, okay? Then sometimes God gives you information while you're just speaking. He says in Luke 21 to the disciples, he said, don't worry of what you're going to say. Because when you get there, I'm going to tell you what to do. Again, there's that, aren't we used more in wisdom and more in knowledge? It's because we got it all figured out. I've said that 3 times. Purposefully, not because I got a problem. And can I share something? You that are mature, like I'm maturing, please never say that because you're getting older and you're losing your memory. That is a curse. Let me give you a clue that God gave to me from NIV Bible years and years ago. They don't have it in the new NIV, not the NIV, but the Amplified Bible. Chapter 90 of Psalms was written by Moses. Okay. And in that he wrote, if we just get to 70, and perhaps if we have strength, 80. He was writing to people who were under a curse and were going to die. Go to 6:3 of Genesis. And from now on, people will live to 120. I would rather listen to what Jesus said or what God through the Holy Spirit said instead of listening to someone who is talking to people who are under a curse. And so all my life, since I've heard that, I have claimed Psalms 103, who renews my youth. And you know, I've had people come to me and they say, Jim, how come you have so much energy? I'm 76 years old. He said, how come you have so much energy? Listen, it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with a thought that God placed in my heart. Not that I'm going to live to 120. In this world, if I could stay like I am myself, I would. But, you know, I've seen a few people who are 115 in that. Heaven's a lot better. My time comes, it'll come, and that's it, you know. But there is an understanding, see, an understanding that came through a word of knowledge, just reading something. And that has been such a grip on my life. Yes, I'm not sure I'm 70. No, I'm... Can I run the 100-yard dash like I did when I was... Forget it. No. But it's the energy that counts. I've had youth pastors that have looked... One of them that looked at me, he says, I hate you. Because I was walking around 6 o'clock in the morning, hallelujah, and he was going, and my coffee at, you know. So information while you're speaking. Then the other way that you get to know what people are thinking. Jesus did that. Luke 5:22, verse 6 and 8. He found out. And then as Brother David preached so adequately so last night, the prophetic words. Many prophetic words are also words of knowledge. Here we go again as individuals. You know, we like to have it all sliced up and chopped right. We don't want our celery and our carrots and our radishes together. God has 9 gifts, and he's got more than that, but 9 gifts that he gives us in the 12th chapter. Listen, they work together. You can't just say, well, that was a word of knowledge. Well, maybe it was. But maybe it was a prophetic word with the word of knowledge. Discerning of spirits. Yeah, but maybe there was words of knowledge and wisdom that worked with this discernment. See, that's not, you know, we got a big old chopper and we like to chop things up. You know. Angel visits. Another one. Songs of deliverance. He gives us songs of deliverance, words of knowledge. I remember when my grandmother died, they asked me to come to Nebraska and to have her funeral. And I was so concerned. It was cold. It was in February. It was down to 20 below. My car was having problems. And I'm in bed just... And all of a sudden, the song came to me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Take my hand and trust in me. And I said, okay. Drove down there because we had to drive down and come right away, come back. And in the cold, below zero weather, no problem with the car at all. Take my hand and trust in me. I'm the pilot. We're songs of deliverance. Oh, God wants to give you songs of deliverance that are words of knowledge. That's why songs are important. That's why choruses are important. Because God can speak to you with a song of deliverance. And all of a sudden, wow, a word of knowledge came. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Take my hand. And then, of course, that chorus goes on and says, never mind the tossing billows. Yeah, well, I was in a tossing billow. My car's not working, you know, and I'm driving in, yeah, okay. Then another way, through an audible voice. That doesn't happen too often, but God can speak to you in an audible voice. And then in the area of just using scriptures. Lillian Thrasher, the great mother of the Valley of the Nile, she was just awesome. You know how God spoke to her? From the Exodus, where talked to Moses, go to Egypt. God gave her a word from that, said, go to Egypt. She went and she broke up with her boyfriend and went to Egypt. Became a great, great testimony. Great testimony. So there's a many ways that the Holy Spirit works. And there are many ways that I haven't even mentioned here. But the Holy Spirit wants to use us. But I want to go back to my theme. The reason we're not used in the gifts of the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge is because we've got it all figured out. See, we come to the courthouse with knowing what we're going to say. God says, don't you worry about that. I'm going to give you words to say. No. I got to be comfortable. You know, You will never be comfortable with, in regards to the Holy Ghost. That is the natural man. The spiritual man will be very comfortable. But the natural man will not. The natural man fights against this, the things. Now, quickly to the word of faith. Quickly. The gift of faith. Let me just read it to you real quick, and then we'll go on. Here it is. A supernatural trust. Reliance on God to fulfill what he has promised. A supernatural ability to believe God with supernatural patience and perseverance. Let me give you an illustration to help you. When I came to Dickinson, North Dakota 34 years ago, first phone call that I received was from the district office saying, when are you going to pay your farmer's payment? That's a once a year payment. I said, I don't know anything about it. So I got the board and I said, hey, fellas, there's a $3,000 payment. Well, the individual that had been supply there before hadn't given any of the bills, and I found $7,000 worth of bills. Okay. Now we've got a $3,000 payment. And they said, oh, we just waited for you to come so you could raise it. Nice. Right at that time, faith came. We had another next year $3,000 payment. And then at the end, a balloon payment of $20,000. Drew, let me give you some great wisdom on how and what to do. When you build your new church, get the payments real low, and as long as you're there, and then when you leave, let there be a balloon payment. See, and then they have to worry about it. See. Well, that's what they did to me, you know. And here's what the Lord spoke to me and said, that's the bear, next year is the lion, and the next year is Goliath. I never worried about it at all. 3,000 came in, 3,000 came in, 20,000 came in. And listen, when I came to Dickinson, North Dakota, there was 23 in Sunday school. 20,000, that was a miracle. Now we built the other church. That was faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And you repeated those scriptures. I remember walking over to the new church, and we had $37 in the bank, $2,700 payment for the church, our salaries, the staff salaries, all of the other bills, and we had $37. There wasn't this, hallelujah. It was, you promised me, Lord. You promised me, Lord. This is the word. See, there's a difference between faith that cometh by hearing and that which comes by God as a gift of faith. You don't worry. You don't sweat it. You don't have to go around and say, oh, God, you promised me this. It just happens. And there's such a supernatural reliance on God. There was never any sweat. But boy, on the new church, oh, yes, Lord, you promised. Lord, this is what you promised. Yes, Lord, Now, that's probably one of the best ways that I can describe to you the difference. And the problem with many people is that they will give a testimony concerning the gift of faith, equating it to faith cometh by hearing, and make everyone miserable that's trying to get their healing and everything else by faith cometh by hearing. I can't understand that. Why? They had a gift of faith. It wasn't faith cometh by hearing. There was no struggle. There wasn't, as Brother Nichols said, there was no testing. This has come to test your faith. Go away. Come on, you. But I'm telling you, when God gives you, one of the great times that happened in my life was when I was going to Devil's Lake, North Dakota, to speak for my brother, and had a meeting down there, and God just spoke to my heart and said, gift of faith came. Everyone that comes up to the front is going to be healed. Just everyone. So I get up. Says, there's no sweat. And I said, everyone that comes up to the front is going to be healed. There were 11 people came up. Oh, lady that had arthritis was crying out before I came there. And said, God, I can't take it anymore, the pain. And God said, help's on the way. So what he told her, yeah, I talked with her 5 years later. She still didn't have any arthritis. Another one who had an accident, and there was a nerve that couldn't use his hand, couldn't have feelings. A man who something had fallen on his foot had 21 broken bones. Walked out of there, went home, put his shoe, his boot on. These were some great healings. Every person was healed. But there was a lady in the back saw that. So she came up afterwards and said, would you pray for me? I prayed for her. She wasn't healed. Because the word was, if you come up to the front. I had no, there was no 21 days of fasting. It just was a word. See? And I knew it. I thought, you know, for me to get up here and say, now everyone that comes up here today is going to be healed. You better be sure that was faith, you know. But there have been times that you just, you know you've been used of God in that area. If you just think about, there's pressure. So faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by gift of faith. I would prefer the gift of faith, but, you know, God's in control of that. I have to use the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to my heart. So I just trust that this here will help you just a little bit. Nothing profound. It's just something that I've seen how God has worked in other people's lives, in my life.
We trust this message has been a blessing to your spiritual life. You can contact us with any correspondence or donations for the support of this ministry at Heart of the Father Ministries, P.O. Box 300, Rush City, Minnesota, 55069, or visit us online at heartofthefather.net, where you can purchase all of our products or donate online as well. Kingdom blessings on you.